It's really helpful, I think, to think about third-party releases in sort of two categories, consensual and non-consensual third-party releases. And, you know, consensual third-party releases, and, you know, there's a lot of interesting questions about what action or inaction constitutes consent, and that's Lydia's going to kind of go through that in a few minutes here. But when we talk about kind of the circuit split that we're looking at on this map, it's really more about non-consensual third-party releases that we're looking at the split. And so as Judge Jernigan mentioned, there's a lot of courts in the majority view circuits that have looked at Section 524E, and they've said the language of 524E, the discharge of the debt of a debtor doesn't affect the liability of non-debtors, doesn't prohibit third-party releases. And, you know, and then they go on and they do approve third-party releases that are non-consensual under 105 of the Bankruptcy Code. And, you know, I think they, across the circuits, they all apply slightly different tests, but they're all pretty similar. The Dow Corning case, for example, is the factors that Dow Corning looks, that they applied, pop up in kind of all the different circuits in some form. And really, you know, they also, across circuits, everyone kind of acknowledges that this is really extraordinary relief, and the facts really have to justify it and matter for when you're going to approve a non-consensual third-party discharge. And so the factors that courts look at for non-consensual discharge, third-party discharges are, you know, things like, you know, is there an identity of interest between the debtor and the non-debtor? You know, the most common fact pattern is the indemnity-indemnitor relationship. You know, what has the non-debtor contributed to the reorganization, you know, to be deserving of a release? And how, you know, how do the releases generally fit into the reorganization? Are they really essential to it? And then, you know, the next factor is sort of the degree of consent, right? And there's a little bit of line blurring between what's consensual and what's not, and whether you're approving a non-consensual or consensual third-party release, but the level of consent, these courts and the majority view look at as another factor. And it's not a litmus test in these circuits. It's kind of looking at all these different factors and then approving or not approving a third-party non-consensual discharge. And so then moving to the minority view, you know, there's three circuits that are cited as sort of having the minority view that that third-party releases are pro se prohibited. And, you know, I think we've seen over time, especially over the past couple of years, the line isn't as clear in particularly the Ninth and the Fifth Circuit. And, you know, the case that everybody cites to in you know, supporting the proposition that the Fifth Circuit prohibits third-party releases is, of course, the Pacific Lumber case. And, you know, won't rehash all the facts that Judge Jernigan went through, but at the end of the day, you know, the last two pages of the opinion make clear this is really an exculpation provision that the court was talking about. And there's a couple of interesting things that you can glean from that opinion that do suggest that at least consensual third-party releases can be approved. And that's the statement that Judge Jernigan mentioned, which was that you know, it was the Fifth Circuit interpreting all of the Fifth Circuit cases, saying, well, we interpret these cases to say that non-consensual third-party releases are prohibited. The inference being that, of course, that consensual may be. And then there's another part of the discussion that says that sort of seems to acknowledge that in mass tort claim situations, or as part of a global settlement, you could approve a third-party release as well. And so, you know, we've seen the case law sort of develop in the Fifth Circuit, and, you know, I think in all of the districts in the Fifth Circuit, you do see approval of third-party releases, and I think as Judge Mullen and others will kind of get into, it's really the facts that matter and consent is also you know, obviously key, but sort of the four factors or it's really about looking at this kind of with the view of contract law and principles. Is there consent? And again, Lydia will kind of walk through what is and what isn't consent and how the courts look at that. You know, are the release provisions drafted in a way with enough specificity to put parties on notice of what the release provisions are doing and who it impacts? Is it essential to a Chapter 11 plan or a settlement? And then is there an actual exchange of consideration? What is the party that's getting the release giving up? And so from there, I would Lydia, if you want to get into the consent question.
Sure. Thanks, Cliff. So consensual releases are certainly the less controversial cousin of the non-consensual release. And with the possibility of the exception of maybe some courts in the Tenth Circuit, under the right facts and circumstances, you should be able to get a consensual third-party release approved in almost any bankruptcy court across the country. However, as we've discussed, what is consent? This is something that's a matter of serious debate and disagreement across the circuits and even within certain districts, some of the main districts where you see these major Chapter 11 cases filed.